How's everybody today? Good. Everybody's good? You survived your first week of your kids being out of school? Yeah. Somebody's clapping. Oh, that's a teacher. That's why. The teachers are throwing parties. The parents are like, what are we going to do? Can I tell you, my kids have eaten so much food this week? I mean, everything is gone. And so I know they're having a party being home from school. And so anyway, as Cynthia mentioned earlier, we're excited about our youth going to camp this week. And so be praying for us through the week that God is going to do some amazing things in some young people's lives. Amen. Come on, can you pray with us and believe that God's going to do something in their life this week while we're at camp? And we'll see what the Lord is going to do. I'm excited about that. I'm actually excited about today, the message that I want to share with you this morning. I want to go to the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 3. We'll read a little bit, and then we're going to teach a little bit. Then we'll read a little bit, and then we'll preach a little bit. How's that, everybody? Everybody's good? All right, Acts chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, after his suffering, this is talking about Jesus, he presented himself to them, meaning the disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days. I want you to remember that, over a period of 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait, say wait. But wait for the gift my Father promised. Now, if you underline stuff in your Bible or you like taking good mental notes, that's a good one right there. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power, say power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. I pray now that every ear would be open, every mind would be open to hear and to receive and understand what you want to say to us through your word today. I pray for your help in communicating this message. I pray, Lord, that I speak it clearly and speak it in a life-giving way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but today is considered Pentecost, okay? And that word literally, it just means 50. But we're going to dive down into it a little bit because actually it was a festival that was celebrated 50 days after Passover. So now we got two P words. We got the whole Pentecost thing, which some of you are like, okay, you're going to have to help me out with that. And then we introduce another P word, Passover, and you're like, no, you're really going to have to help me out with that. So let's take a few moments and break it down. What's Passover? What is Passover? In Exodus, way back in the Bible, there's these Hebrew people. They're considered Israelites, and they were enslaved by the Egyptians. And the Lord sent a man named Moses to go and to deliver them from this Egyptian ruler who they called Pharaoh. Now, the issue that they ran into is that Pharaoh did not want to let them go because they were the labor force in their nation, and they were the ones that were helping to build all the pyramids and all the really cool things that are in Egypt. They were using these Israelites as slaves to build it all. And so Pharaoh, he didn't want to let them go, but God had sent Moses to go to Pharaoh to plea to let them go. And after he refused several times, then the Lord just said, well, let's take it up a notch. So he began to send plagues upon Egypt to convince this Pharaoh to let them go. And he sent a plague of locusts. Literally, I want you to imagine in our living conditions, if we were just inundated with locusts everywhere. Some of you, you're checking out because if you see a spider in the bathtub, you are burning your house down. And so this would not work for you. You would automatically be mad at Pharaoh because what are you waiting for? And so they had this whole experience with locusts. And if that wasn't enough, it was a whole nother level whenever the Lord sent a plague of frogs, okay? Now, I want to be honest. I don't do frogs, okay? I know I'm from Louisiana. I will eat crawfish, I'll eat crabs, and most things from a ditch. But I am not going to mess with a frog, nor a lizard. If that thing is running around my house, I have an oven mitt on, and you can judge me all you want because I will eat things that you won't eat, okay? But I just can't do it. And so they have these frogs that are just all over the place, and they can't get rid of the frogs. And so listen to this. This is how crazy-minded this Pharaoh is. He's like, okay, Lord, you've convinced me just tomorrow morning. Like the frogs are there all night. How do you sleep with frogs crawling all over you? Now, some of you, you won't sleep tonight just with that thought. Yeah, I mean, you'll just think frogs all over you. And he said, tomorrow morning, make them go away. And then he went back on his promise, and he didn't let the people go. And so, Lord, continue to send these plagues. Actually, he sent 10 of them. One of the plagues, he turned the Nile River into blood. And it still wasn't enough to convince this Pharaoh. And finally, the Lord got to the point to where he knew that he had to go to extreme measures. And so he would send his death angel to come over the entire nation to kill the firstborn son of all the families. And so this would be known as the Passover angel. And what he instructed the children of Israel to do is to take the blood of a lamb, the blood of an innocent lamb, and spread it on the doorposts of their home. And whenever the death angel would come over the entire nation, it would skip over their home. Come on, some of you're beginning to understand the blood of the lamb that covers us and washes us white as snow. And so this Passover in the Old Testament is actually a picture of salvation in the New Testament. Okay, I kind of had to go a little bit deep for you, but I want to teach you a little bit this morning, because the blood of the lamb, which was Jesus, was shed on the cross, which is the doorway to heaven, to cover us of our sins, that we may have eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's a picture of that in the Old Testament, which would happen in the New Testament through the death of Jesus on the cross. And so that blood on the door represents the blood that was shed for us on the cross so that we could be saved and have eternal life with Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen and thank you, Jesus? That's good stuff right there. So what happened was this Passover became a festival to celebrate God's deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Because after this, Pharaoh was convinced, I can't deal anymore. Y'all go, get out of here. Because his son, he had a firstborn son that was supposed to become the next ruler of Egypt, who had died because of this angel. And he was done. Let him go. And so Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. And now they figured, hey, if the Lord's delivering us from slavery, we're going to celebrate this thing every year for the rest of our lives. And so they began this celebration, and it was called Passover. Now, the way that they celebrated this festival for 49 days. Come on, how many of you can handle a 49-day festival? If you were enslaved for that long and got set free, you would throw a party too. And so they're coming out, and so they figured 49 days. And the reason they chose 49 is because there's 7 days in a week for 7 weeks. And so 7 times 7 is 49. 7 in the Bible is the number of completion. And so whenever you begin to study a lot of this stuff in the Old Testament, in the Bible, there's a lot of numbers and things that have a lot of significance. So for 7 days a week, for 7 weeks, they were throwing a party for 49 days, okay? And then on the 50th day, now we're getting to Pentecost. So let me back up and tell you how this whole idea of Pentecost happened. So the Lord delivers them out of Egypt, and so now they're tracking into the promised land, and they had to cross through the Red Sea and that whole thing where Moses holds up his rod and the Red Sea parts, and all the children of Israel cross over, and then the Red Sea closes on all of Pharaoh's men because they were coming after the Israelites after he said, you can go. He said, oh no, I can't believe I did that. Go get them back. We don't have nobody working no more. And so they're chasing after all the Israelites, and they're hauling tail through this opening in the Red Sea, and whenever all the soldiers get into the middle of the sea swallows them up. And so you know the children of Israel are feeling like big bad boys at this point in time. And so they come out on the other side, and they're beginning to get some things established. And one of the things they had to establish was their law. And so Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. He receives the Ten Commandments, which is a pretty cool experience. He comes down from the mountain, and you would think all these children of Israel would just be partying, worshiping God, but they weren't. They weren't worshiping God. Guess what they did? They took all their jewelry, threw it into a fire, and formed an image of a cow and began to bow down and worship it. Now, I know what you're thinking. That is the craziest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. I don't get it either. But here they are. They're worshiping this golden calf that they had formed out of all their jewelry, and they didn't realize that Moses was coming down the mountain with these Ten Commandments. And don't you know, wouldn't it just happen this way that one of the Ten Commandments would be, thou shalt not worship any other gods but me? And sure enough, there they are. They're worshiping this false idol. And so on this day where the law is presented to the children of Israel because they had broken God's law, check this out. 3,000 people die because they sin and break God's law. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but sin has a price tag. The sins that we commit, there's a price tag on it. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so sin brings death into our lives. It kills things. It kills marriages. It kills relationships. It kills a lot of things because of sin. And they didn't realize that their sin was actually the very people that God was saving. They were destroying themselves by entertaining these sins. And so God had to do a little bit of work and do a little bit of judgment because Jesus hadn't come yet. And so the wages of sin is death, so people die. So 3,000 people die on that day. But that day becomes Pentecost. It's 50 days after their deliverance from Egypt. But when you jump over to the New Testament, it's interesting because Jesus is slain on the cross at Passover. But then you fast forward 50 days and there's this exciting thing that happens because Jesus has ascended into heaven. And these disciples, they had paid attention. Jesus said, hang tight. They'd already been with him for 40 days. He said, hang tight because the promise from the Father is coming to you. And so they waited in this room for 10 days. Now, I don't know about you, but 10 days in one room, I'm having an issue. Okay, I got to go. I mean, I need some fresh air. I get claustrophobic. I got to go. I like to go. And so they're up there in this upper room, and they're being obedient to the Lord, and they're waiting. And they have this incredible experience because that day the Holy Spirit is poured out on them. And all of these exciting things begin to happen because of the Holy Spirit being poured out on them, just like Jesus promised would happen. Now, what's interesting is on this day, the Holy Spirit is poured out in this guy, Peter. Now, I have to tell you about Peter. See, we like to look at Peter as a legend, but you don't realize that Peter was told by Jesus. Like, if Jesus tells you something, you might want to listen. Am I right? I mean, if he comes to you personally and tells you, like, Robert, this is what's going to happen, you might want to listen to him. I'm just saying. So Jesus tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's like, nah, not me, man. I'm with you, bro. I'm tight. We're tight like that. And so he's just trying to play it cool. But don't you know that Peter denies Jesus not once, not twice, but three times to a little girl. To a girl. Like, he couldn't even stand up to this little girl. And so here he is feeling all dejected and all of this, but yet he knows what Jesus told him to do, so he's just sticking with the plan. And that day that the Holy Spirit comes upon him, this guy that denies Jesus now begins to live out what was spoken about him, that he would be a rock on which I would build my church. And that day, Peter stands up and he begins to speak to the crowd. And as he speaks to the crowd, the Bible tells us that 3,000 are saved on that day. So let's get some perspective here. Old Testament, the law is given. They're all breaking it. 3,000 are killed. Fast forward, new Passover, Jesus dies on the cross, Holy Spirit is poured out, Peter preaches this message, and on that day, 3,000 is saved. You ever saw that verse in Corinthians? It says that the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So Jesus came to give us life, and life what? More abundantly. And so whenever we're understanding the whole perspective of God's plan, we're sure to understand about God because it's so clearly laid out in the Bible. And we hear all about Jesus. I mean, we've been taught this stuff for a long time. You read the Bible. But when you begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, it's question marks because how does that work? I mean, he's described as wind. He's described as breath and all this stuff. Like, how does that work? And so we're uncomfortable talking about the Holy Spirit, so we don't talk about him a whole lot, but we need him in our everyday lives, amen? Because if we're going to experience the full life of Christ in our everyday life, we're going to need to be filled with the Spirit, and we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, amen? Elbow your neighbor right here and tell him, I think he's preaching to us today. So what I want to do today, I want to use Pentecost as a platform to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and why we need him in our lives. And also, let me say this, Pentecost also marks the birth of the church. It was on that day that the church was literally birthed, and it came alive, because now it's not just Jesus on this scene that's doing everything, it's these guys that had followed him around that now he has poured his Spirit out on, and now they're beginning to teach, now they're beginning to perform the miracles, and this church, this movement, it wasn't a meeting, it was a movement that started over 2,000 years ago, it is still going, and it is strong, and it is living. living, and it is powerful, and the gates of hell has not prevailed against it. And though it may have had a few attacks, it still thrives today. Come on, church. We are that church. And there are churches all over the world that are still thriving today. And be careful what you hear on the news, because they'll say this and that about the church. But I need you to know, the church hasn't stopped. Amen. The church still keeps going because it was birthed by the Holy Spirit. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 through 12, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, and let's look at the account where the church was birthed. Let's look at this Pentecost and see what happens, and let's find some things that we could pull out of this to apply to our everyday lives, because I believe that you and I can live an abundant life, amen? I believe that you and I can live much more than just some religious rituals, but there can be some life stirring in us that gives us some hope, that gives us some joy, that gives us some strength. Come on, am I talking to anybody in here today that might be interested in this sort of thing? Or would you rather just a mundane, monotone, laid back, quiet kind of religious ritual that you just get mad at everybody about? Come on, anybody wants that? I didn't think so. So let's learn some things today that the Holy Spirit can do for us. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Quincy, Monticello, Crawfordville, Phrygia, Pamphylia, even a couple people from Jacksonville, Egypt, and all parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, watch this, what does this mean? They were blown away what was happening. They've never seen anything like this before, so they're asking, what does this mean? This is crazy. And some of you just hearing some of the things we read, you're like, that's crazy. You're beginning to wonder, are we in the right place today? It's crazy because this is where we're getting a glimpse of who the Holy Spirit is, and we're just not always comfortable with the Holy Spirit because he doesn't do it according to our rituals and our rites and our rules and everything. He just seems to be like all over the place. Now, how many of you were that kid growing up who was all over the place? I want you to raise your hand. And I know, you know, I can't raise my hand in front of my kids, but they know already. They can tell. You're just all over the place. And your parents tried everything, am I right? Go ahead and nod your head. They're still trying. All over the place. You need to repent and ask God to forgive you for doing that to your parents. If you're a kid coming up, please don't do that, especially if you're mine. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, though, I want you to picture it like this. Some of you are old enough to remember black and white TV. First TV I got was a 13-inch black and white with rabbit ears. Now, some of you think rabbit ears is what you put on somebody when you take a picture. Back in the day, there were these wire things that came out of the back of the TV called rabbit ears, and you usually had to get a little aluminum foil, and you had to fine-tune. Man, that was a job. We didn't have cable back in the day. Yeah, I know, I'm only 41, I'm looking good, but trust me, I was there for all of that stuff. I remember my dad sending me out to the backyard, and we had this big antenna that was in the ground. It was on a pole, and he said, leave the back door, turn it, and you turn it a little bit, too much, turn it back, and you turn it back, too much, and so you turn it, come like, I got to do it myself, get back in the house, is it clear, you know, that whole thing, and then you get on the TV, you got to find, how many of y'all remember that stuff? Yeah, it was awesome days, man, great relationship with that. So you had this black and white TV, and I remember when the Atari came out. I had the Atari, man. What's up? I got Pac-Man on my 13-inch black and white. I didn't even know what color the ghosts were, man. I didn't have no clue. He's just running from these gray ghosts. I just thought they were gray. And then I went to my cousin's house. I was like, oh, I didn't know they were all those colors, you know? And so when you look through the whole course of these TVs, it started out with the black and white. And some of you, you were like even before the TV, so you remember like radio and that kind of stuff. And so we had this black and white TV, and I remember in the front we had the console TV. Now, a console TV is the furthest thing from a flat screen you've ever seen in your life, okay? Because now you can get a TV that's about this thick. That TV was like that thick. And it sat on the floor, and it had like a huge cabinet built around it. And if you had like anything over 25 inches, you had a huge TV. I'm serious. And it was like the centerpiece of our living room, man. This thing was huge. And like my mom would display all the family pictures and stuff on top of it. And one time we left a Coke on it, you know, and like it sweat and all that. And so the moisture kind of, you know, it was fake wood. I mean, that's all that all stuff was. It all swelled up and everything. So you had to put the little dolly on top, you know, all that stuff. But color TV was a big deal. And then when the cable came out, man, when cable came out, there was that little box on top. And I'll never forget Disney Channel was channel 22 on the box on the top. You had to turn the TV to channel U. Some of you like, U? What in the world? Some of you like, amen, preach that thing. Channel U. And then you go to the box, you turn it on, and I would hit channel 22 and watch the Disney Channel. It was awesome, man. ESPN came out. Started watching SportsCenter before most of you were alive. I mean, it was just this incredible thing. And so TVs began to evolve. And next thing you know, remote control. How does that work? My aunt had one of the first remote control TVs. There was a long wire connected from the remote to the TV. And people would trip over it all the time. And it came out of the TV. And that was an argument and a fight. And then it went to the real remotes, you know, the little infrared remotes, and it just kept going and kept going and kept going to nowadays where we've gone from HD to UHD to this 4K to all this incredible stuff where it literally feels like you're there. I mean, it's just awesome. So if I were to describe the Holy Spirit to you, I would say it like this. There are standards that God has called us to live by, and that would represent these black and white lines that we got to stay within the lines. But the Holy Spirit would be like the high def color. To color it all in. And what's so sad is that most people in their life, in their walk with God, is all black and white. And they just think it's all rules. They just think that God's always mad. And if you mess something up, I'm coming to get you. And that's not the case at all, because God sent us the Holy Spirit to color this thing. So it all begins to make sense. And it appeals to much more than just your mind. But it starts to appeal to your heart. It starts to appeal to your senses. And it is so convincing. And that's why whenever we come to Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit that draws us, because he is so convincing. Now, I don't know about you, but I would much rather sit in front of that high def with the beautiful colors and the sharpness of the TV and then go back in the day and look at the black and white. I know you're saying it was a simpler day. It was a tough time back then. I have to be honest. The TVs are nicer now. The air conditioner works better, I promise you. I don't have to go outside and adjust the pole. That's one less argument I've got to have with my son now. You know what I'm saying? Now it's where's the remote? Anyway, that's another thing for now. So let's talk about, y'all got that problem too? Yeah. And you know what's bad? Maybe I'm venting a little bit. All the remotes work the same. So like they can come and take my remote and use it like in their playroom, like in their room. They can, it's the same remote. It works. They're like, oh, come on, man. So anyway, I just needed to get that out. Let's get to the point here. Stay on point, Wade. Come on. Summertime, preach this thing. Quit talking. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Let's break this down a little bit. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Now, you have heard different expressions and seen different movements when it comes to the Holy Spirit that sometimes makes people quite leery of the Holy Spirit, because they see these really extreme expressions and they say, I want nothing to do with that. And sometimes we throw the baby out with the bathwater because we try to distance ourselves so far from something that we leave something that we actually need, that was actually a gift. Now, I want you to imagine if you were to give someone a gift and they were to say, I don't want it. Now, some of you would have a massive problem with that because you went through extra measures to get that for the person, thought it was meaningful, thought it was helpful, thought it was functional, because some of you would rather make it functional than make them happy. And so you buy them that, and then for them to say, I don't like it, that's a problem. So the Lord gives us this gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us. It's literally the Spirit of Jesus. See, when we die, our spirits ascend into heaven. When Jesus dies, his body goes to heaven, but his spirit comes down on earth. It's literally the Spirit of Jesus that would come and influence and fill our lives and lead us the direction that God would have us go with our lives, because God wants to save us, but he also has a plan for us. So the Holy Spirit is involved in the whole process of salvation. Listen, some of you, you're here today because somebody was praying. You felt like you needed to be here. That feeling that you felt that you had to be here was literally the Holy Spirit making you feel welcome, making you feel calm, making you feel like you needed to be here. So now you can begin to understand, thank God for the Holy Spirit. I might not be here today. A lot of us wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit moving. Sometimes whenever the message is preached, that feeling that you begin to get, that urge, the drawing, that is literally the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Are you beginning to understand now you can't see it in here. I mean, I don't see anything weird happening in here except for this guy up here talking to y'all, telling you jokes about TVs and stuff. But other than that, there is nothing happening. But as we're speaking, the Holy Spirit is at work drawing us closer and closer to Jesus. That's why you're having thoughts in here like, man, I need to change. Man, I need to quit doing that. I need to quit talking like that. I need to start doing this. I need to get involved. That's the Holy Spirit at work in your life. You don't see it, but you can sense that something is going on. So God gave us his Spirit to help us to stay on track. Amen. So look, even if you ask God to forgive you of your sins, it's not over right there. We still have a life to live. How are you going to stay on track? That's where the Holy Spirit comes into place. In fact, there's a Greek word called parakletos. Can you say that with me? Parakletos. I don't know how to spell it. It sounds cool though. But a paraclete is literally something that walks beside. And so God sent the Holy Spirit to walk beside us. So the question is today, who are you walking with? Some of you are runners and you like to have people who are pacing you. Who's pacing you in this life? Do you have the Spirit of God that is pacing you? Or are you just kind of running your own race? Amen? So God gives us this Spirit. Let's break it down. I'm going to give you a few things why we need the Holy Spirit. The first thing is this. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live right. The Holy Spirit empowers me to live right. Now, how many of you would agree with me that there are some very strong influences in our world? There are some great cultural influences in our world, and it would be very easy to fall into that trap and just kind of go along with what everyone else is doing. Most of the time, we think of that in context with younger people, you know, maybe teenagers and peer pressure and all of that stuff. We just assume because it's so great, they just do that because of peer pressure, okay? So we're aware that there's a great influence in the world that we live in. What is going to be our influence to live right? We know that there is a great influence out there to do wrong, but do we have a greater influence to do right? And the answer is yes, and that's who the Holy Spirit is. He is the great influence of God, the very Spirit of God, that would influence us to live right, to do right, so that we can fulfill all things and be obedient to Christ. Amen? So if we're going to do this, we're going to need the Holy Spirit, and God knew that. That's why he gave him to us. He knew we would need his Spirit, so he gave us his Spirit to help us to live right. So we can understand that the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he helps us to continually say yes to God and to say no to sin. How many of you are seeing the benefit already of the Holy Spirit? He helps you to say yes to God. There are days where you just don't feel like it, am I right? Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you didn't feel like it today. But something prompted you that you knew, I need to be there. That's the Holy Spirit. It's prompting you to do the right thing. Isn't it good to know that God has you backed up with the Holy Spirit? Because there are going to be days where you just ain't feeling it. There are some days where you wake up and you're like, let's do this. I'm feeling it. I'm on fire. Ha! Now, other days you're like, nah. Don't even look at me. Bless God. I don't even know why I'm saying that. Just leave me alone. And so we will need the Holy Spirit to do the right thing. Okay? So let me give you a verse just to kind of enforce that. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. What's pulling the strings in your life? What's pushing the buttons? When there's temptation, what is going to be your greater influence? The thing that's tempting you, or is it going to be the Holy Spirit? whenever you don't feel like doing anything and you know you have to, you need to have initiative, what is it that's going to inspire you, that's going to influence you, that's going to awaken you to do it when you just aren't feeling it? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. I mean, when I begin to look at this, I realize that, man, God, you're a genius. Like, you knew exactly what you were doing. Like, you knew that we were going to be slackers. Like, you knew it. He knew it. Look at your neighbor and say, he knew it. Now, don't mean anything when you don't call no one a slacker, okay? Don't do that. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to live right. Are you beginning to understand a little bit more about the Holy Spirit? Now, here's the second thing. He empowers me to live right, but the Holy Spirit also empowers me to speak life. The Holy Spirit empowers me to speak life. 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 He empowers me to speak life, okay? So let's break this down and look at it. One of the evidences of the Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture is that he affects how people speak. We've read it right there in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they began to speak in other languages. They also began to prophesy. Sometimes when we hear stuff like that, we back away. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We have to be able to see what's really happening there. The Holy Spirit is literally setting their tongues on fire so that they're speaking the things of God rather than the things of themselves, okay? So it's affecting the way that they talk. Now, I want to know how many of you have ever gotten in trouble for saying something? How many of you wish you could take that back? Well, I shouldn't have said that. Listen, there are times up here when I'm speaking and Cynthia looks at me, I'm like, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. That's coming up at lunch today. She's like, what are you doing? Trying to get everybody out of church? I'm working on it, baby. That's why I need to pray for me. So we see immediately that when the Holy Spirit was filling these people, their language, the way they spoke, changed. They began to speak differently. One of the things I've learned about children is you know something's up whenever their language changes. You ever notice, like, whenever they want to go somewhere and when they want to do something, they change the way they talk. They talk the way you want them to talk. You ever notice that? It works in marriages, too. Spouses do it, too. What can I do for you today, baby? What you want? And that's usually the follow-up, am I right? What you want? And they're up to something. But their language changes. You notice that? Their language changes because they're trying to get in tune with you. Because they feel like if they're in tune with you, I'm going to get a yes. That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get a yes. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, their language begins to change. And so they begin to speak in these unknown languages. But what's interesting is all the people who had gathered in Jerusalem to come and celebrate this Passover and throw the big party because we were once slaves, but now we're free. We're partying like it's 1999. They have this experience with God. And they hear these people talking. They're like, wait a minute. I didn't know them dudes knew my language. I did not know that those guys knew how to talk the way we do. Now listen, if you went to South Louisiana and you heard some of those people talk, you would need a translator. There are guys who play football for LSU, this new coach, Coach Ogeron. Like, his name looks like Oregon. His name is Ogeron. They say at first they couldn't understand a word that he was saying because it had such a dialect to it. But now they can understand. And so these guys, they're all over Jerusalem, and they hear these Galileans talking, and they never heard them talk like that. But it sounds like the way they talk. And I want you to see how brilliant the Lord is, because he gave them the ability to speak his message in their language so that they may be saved. And the thing that the Holy Spirit does is it gives us the ability to speak a language so that other people can know the goodness of God so that they can be saved. So I want you to imagine this. Let's bring it to our house first and foremost, and bring it to your home, that you could speak a language in such a way that your children hear it and they hear the goodness of God. And because of that, they are saved. Are you grabbing this today? And I'm not just talking about trying to talk about being all on fleek and all that stuff, because they will just look at you like you're crazy. I did that with my kids, and they were like, no. No, don't do that, bro. True story. A few weeks back, got a phone call. I was going back. I don't know what tempted me to do it. I got a faux hawk, picked the kids up from school. I'm sitting in the truck, and my oldest looks at me. He's like, Dad, what are you doing? You're too old for that, Dad. Thank you very much, son. I love you, too. We ain't going to Chick-fil-A now. Eat peanut butter and jelly. I believe the Holy Spirit can affect how we talk. He can affect how we talk to our spouse, our children, our friends, our coworkers, unbelievers, anybody. In fact, the Holy Spirit would even affect how you talk to God. So you have to know that when the Holy Spirit fills my life, one of the very things that it's going to affect is going to be the way that I talk. And when a person begins to talk differently, we know that change is happening in their lives. Whenever their tone changes, we know they're changing. But we also have to be aware that this language that God gives us the ability to speak things that maybe we've never been able to speak before. And hey, maybe it may be a language that you don't know. I've been on mission trips before where people were praying, and next thing you know, I'm talking about other people from other countries that did not know English, and they're talking in an unknown language. The unknown language was English. They just didn't know it. And so I'm like, oh, they know English. They're like, no, they really don't. I'm like, yes, they do. I heard them. They're like, no, they really don't. And it was the Holy Spirit that came upon that that enabled them to speak in that language. I know it's mind-blowing, but so is the resurrection. Come on, I know it's mind-blowing, but Moses getting 10 commandments on the side of a mountain is mind-blowing. I know it's mind-blowing, but splitting the Red Sea and bringing a whole entire nation across it, that's mind-blowing too. We're talking about God here. We're not just talking about people. We're talking about the power of God, amen? And the Holy Spirit can empower us to live right, but he also can empower us to speak life. Jesus said it, Acts 1, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Watch this, and you'll be my witnesses. You ever been a witness before? I got in a wreck years ago at this one intersection that was really dangerous. A lot of people had lost their life there, and so I was always getting called to be a witness, not to those accidents, to what happened to me, to try to get them convinced that, hey, we need to do something about this intersection. And what they wanted me to do was tell them what I saw, tell them what I experienced, let them know so that change could be made. I was a witness, so the Holy Spirit enables you and I to speak on his behalf. And I don't know about you, but I got some people I need to talk to. And I don't know if my words are good enough, but I know his word is powerful. It's life-giving. It's life-changing. So if I let him fill me with his spirit, then my words are going to have his power. Are you grabbing this today? So let's go to this last one. Not only does he empower me to live right, not only does the Holy Spirit empower me to speak life, but he also empowers me to make a difference. The Holy Spirit empowers me to make a difference. When you begin to read what these guys did after the Holy Spirit came upon them, it was amazing because the things that Jesus had done, now they're doing it. They're speaking and people are being healed. They're praying for people and their lives are being changed all throughout the rest of the Bible. What was it? It was the Holy Spirit. I mentioned earlier about Peter. Peter was just a loudmouth disciple. He was always the one, oh, I'll do it. You think you walk on water? Oh, yeah, I'll do it. Did it before? Nope. Hey, it's summertime. Try it. Go for it. When you're at the beach, kids say, what are you doing? Try and walk on water. Let's see what happens. Got 100% failure rate going for me. Just saying. Got work to do. So this Peter who was told he would be the rock. If you read in scripture, you see that as soon as he was told that, he struggled with it. He kept making these mistakes. In fact, right after that, Jesus is telling him how he's going to go to the cross and die. And Peter's like, oh no, we'll never let you. And Jesus, at one moment he's saying, you're the rock on which I'll build my church. And then the next thing you know, he's saying, get behind me, Satan. Strong. I've never been called Satan before. Other things close, but not Satan, okay? Peter was trying to do all of this in his own might, his own strength. Lord takes him up on this mountain, and there's this experience where Moses and Elijah come down, And he has this bright idea. Let's build temples for them. And the Lord's like, he doesn't even acknowledge Peter. Just rolls on with it. And this guy, Peter, would be the representative. The one who keeps putting his foot in his mouth. Saying things he shouldn't say, doing things he shouldn't do. Becomes the representative for God that day. But everything changed and everything came to life for him because the Holy Spirit filled him. And it was that day that he stands and he speaks this message. Get a picture of this. He just told a little girl, I don't know who he is. Quit labeling me with Jesus. I don't know him. Now he's standing up in front of this entire city and he's telling them, hey, this Jesus that you killed, he was the Messiah. He's the way, he's the truth and the life. You need to repent. And that day, all these people repent and were seeing the effect of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. It made them come alive. And I believe the Holy Spirit can make us come alive so we're no longer living in survival mode. There's a lot of people in here, you're just trying to make it through another day. You're just trying to make it through that one situation. You go, if we can make it through this, we're going to be okay. But we fail to realize how incredible God's plan is for our lives. And we think that God's plan is put on hold because of one little thing in our life. I want you to know that God is greater than that one little thing. Amen. Come on, God can handle it. Maybe you don't think you can, but God can handle it. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. All these influences that are around me, what I got inside of me is greater than all of these things. Amen. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit, it enables me to make a difference first and foremost in my own life, but not just in me, but also in others. It's like this. It's like if you're the small spark, God can use a small spark to start a large fire. And he's not asking you to be the big fire. He's just asking you to take the spark that you got and apply it. And apply it. That's it. See, too many times we're trying to be the fire and we forget that our God is the consuming fire. He just wants us to be the spark. And maybe that means being a mouthpiece. Maybe that means serving. Listen, there's a lot of people starting fires all over the church this morning by serving. They're sparking fires in the hearts of our kids right back there. Fires that will never go out. Fires that will continue to burn, that will influence them for the rest of their lives. And they will be making a difference because of somebody that realized God can use me to do something I didn't know I could do. And through their service, God is setting those hearts on fire. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit at work. So watch this verse. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. I want you to know, church, that you can make a difference in somebody's life. If you will open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, you'll be amazed the lives that can be touched just simply by being obedient. That's it. You don't have to be a star. You just have to be faithful and obedient. Come on, is anybody following me today? So let me sum this up for you today. See, being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. So you can walk around, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit, bless God. That doesn't make you better than anybody, but being filled with the Holy Spirit will make you better than you. Are you grabbing that? See, a lot of people like to tout around their spirituality, and they talk spiritual and all that. That's good. Be as spiritual as you want, but you might not make a difference in somebody's life. But if I will allow the Holy Spirit to make a difference in me, it is going to have an impact on all of the people who are around me. Are y'all grabbing this today? So I say this. Let's open our heart and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me. I need you to come bring some color to my black and white world. Some of you have been seeing some doom and gloom. You need to see some light. You need to see some life. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And can I say this? You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He's described as gentle. He's described as wind. He's described as breath. Last Sunday, we were sitting at the Florida State LSU softball game. Go Tigers. And it was so hot. It was so hot. This little spot up here on my head was red. My ears were red. My forehead, I've already peeled it. I'm serious. I exfoliated this week. It was rough. Man, when that wind would blow, it was life-changing. I'm not lying to you. I was like, I feel the Holy Ghost. The wind would blow. And it was refreshing. It was fulfilling. And so many people are looking for that. They're hoping a new relationship would bring them that refreshing. They're hoping a new job would bring that fulfillment. They're hoping all of these things. I want to tell you this. You can be in the middle of the craziest job and still have the refreshing of the Holy Spirit there. You can be in one of those really dramatic relationships and still have the Holy Spirit breathing fresh life into your life. Amen? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, let's close. Maybe today, you're here and you're away from God. You're not where you need to be. And as you hear in this story, even about the Passover, and you're realizing that you have some sin in your life that you need forgiven, I need you to know that Jesus gave his life on the cross to pay for that sin. To pay the price for what you have done. To take the wage of death so that you can have eternal life. Jesus went to the cross. And today, I would ask you this. Would you be willing to surrender your life to the Lord? Would you be willing to say, Lord, I surrender to you. I trade my broken down life for your eternal life, for the hope and the promise that you give to me. Or would you be willing to exchange it and say, Lord, I give you mine in exchange for yours? Every head bowed and every eye closed today in this place. Because I believe that there are some who are here today that are away from God. There are some who you know the teachings of God's word, but maybe instead of following the Holy Spirit and doing the right things, you took your own advice and it took you down a path you never thought you would go down. And you've done some things that you're completely ashamed of, and you say, I don't know what to do. Today, let's bring it to the Lord and let him forgive you. Let him wipe your slate clean and give you a fresh start. Amen? If you say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? I'm that person. I'm away from God. I need to commit my life to Jesus and surrender all to him. Real quick, just put a hand up and put it right back down. No one's watching you. You don't have to be ashamed or afraid. Listen, we've all been in this boat. Anyone else say, Pastor? That's me. Okay. Anyone else? That's me, Pastor. All right. I want us to pray this prayer all together today. All together as a church family. We're not leaving anyone out. Just repeat this. Say, Dear Lord, thank you for loving me. Even when I was doing wrong, you still loved me. You sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for the things that I was doing wrong, because you wanted to make me right. So today I surrender my life to you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask for a fresh start today. I want to be made new, and I want to live my life to please you. So I will no longer live my way. I'm following your ways. I'm trusting in you. And I thank you for my new life. My slate has been wiped clean. I have a new heart and I have a new hope in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I want to ask you to take one step. And the step that I want to ask you to take is this. I want to ask you to tell somebody what you've done. I said, man, that's a little intimidating. It's not intimidating, it's powerful. That's why it's so hard for us to do, because there's so much power in it. To tell somebody, today, I prayed a prayer to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It'll do something to you when you tell that person. It'll convince you even of your own salvation. Amen. And maybe you just say, hey, Pastor, you're just freaking me out. That's a little bit too much. There's a connection card inside your worship guide. Fill it out and let me know. I'll read it this week. I want to be praying for you. But you can let me know, today I gave my life to Jesus. Amen. If you don't have a home church, I want to invite you to come be a part of Emerge. We want to help you grow as you go in your walk with God. Amen. So grab that connection card, fill that out. Let us know what's going on. Amen. Now, the next thing I want to pray for before we wrap the service up is I want to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Ephesians, it says, don't be drunk with wine, because that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled means continually, over and over. That means every day I need more of God's Spirit, because today has its own worries. Tomorrow is a brand new day. Amen? So I need the Holy Spirit to fill my life. So I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can be led by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you each and every day in your prayer time, when you wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit, fill me today. Be the number one influence in my life. Can you see how that can be so impacting for you? Be the number one influence in my life. When I'm around those crazy people, help me not to go crazy on them. How's that going to happen? Holy Spirit being the influence. Amen? If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to fill me. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. I want to pray over you today. I'm standing first. So it is not like a secret society club or anything. If you say, hey, I want this Spirit that you're talking about, I want you to stand. I want you to lift your hands to God. I want you to open your arms like you're a receiver receiving something from God. See, they went around and they asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed them? Most of them said, we had never heard of such of a thing. We've never heard of that. And so the disciples went around and began to pray for them. As they prayed for them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And as the Holy Spirit came upon them, things began to happen. Their lives began to change. So Lord, this morning, as we stand in here before you, we're thankful that you saved our lives. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus that has covered all of our sins. But Father, you promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we don't want to do this in our own might. We don't want to do this in our own power, because we know that you have given us your Spirit. So right now, we open our hearts to you, and I ask you to fill every person here today with your Spirit. I ask your Spirit to come and fill our hearts and bring your joy, bring that peace, that righteousness, that patience, all of the fruit of the Spirit that was spoken to us in Galatians. Father, I ask you to fill us with your Spirit today and be the number one influence in our lives, Father. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit, God, will enable us to do what is right. Even though the temptation is great and the influence of our culture is great, Father, I pray that your Spirit will be our number one influence, leading us and guiding us and helping us to navigate with your plan even in this world today. I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, would begin to bring healing and bring hope to every heart in this place today. And I pray that your Spirit will begin to change the way that we speak. That we will be people who speak life to our children, to our spouses, to our people that we work with. In all of these situations, Father, help us to speak life so that we may experience your abundant life. Father, your word says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, that you touch all of our mouths, Father. Set them on fire with your Holy Spirit so that we will speak life. And, Father, enable us to make a difference. I pray that our hearts would be inclined to serve, to help other people experience you. And Lord, I thank you those serve opportunities will open the door for us to speak life to them. So Lord, today we thank you for your Spirit filling us. Come on, can't you just feel the peace of God in this place right now? I mean, you can just sense the peace of God right now just filling you. Now I want you to imagine every morning when you wake up, Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Holy Spirit, will you fill me today? Imagine if this was the start to your day. Amen? Amen? Amen.
Breathe me out.